Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, August 1st, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. For a few years now, we keep talking about these pretty much automated SQL injection attacks against SQL Server. Now, the one thing I always pointed out is these attacks don't exploit a vulnerability in SQL Server. They really just exploit SQL injection and happen to use SQL that's specific to SQL Server. Well, finally, I guess we have the bad guys getting a little bit more creative and they're now writing SQL code that will actually work against MySQL. Today, a reader submitted us a sample they found in their logs. It didn't actually work in their case. They just saw the entry in their web log. So kudos for paying attention. And after decoding the particular hex string that they saw, the actual SQL that came out of it was using syntax that's very specific to MySQL. In SQL Server, for example, you have tables like sysobjects or sys-tables that are being used to store table information. In MySQL, on the other hand, these tables are called tables and columns, and they're in a special database called information schema. So this is really all this new exploit does, is it adopts the old SQL injection code that we have seen being used quite successfully against SQL Server to MySQL. And we don't actually have the exploit tool yet that's being used to launch these exploits, but very likely it's now also going after PHP pages. It doesn't really matter for this particular exploit whether or not the site is coded in PHP.NET or whatever. The tools that went after SQL Server usually looked for .asp as an extension to somewhat improve their probability of finding actually SQL Server as a backend. Well, and then we have more news from Black Hat and DEF CON, this time about Android's use of assisted GPS or AGPS. The way this works is that in order to get its location faster, the phone will first connect to an AGPS server, which is typically operated by the network operator or by the device manufacturer, and it will transmit what it thinks its best guess of location is and the MAC address of the access point or the ESSID. Now, what happens next is that the AGPS server will look this up in database and then return the location where it thinks the phone is located at. As it turns out, these messages are not encrypted, surprise here, but it's not just that someone could listen in on it. That would be kind of pointless if you think about locating the device. If I know you're in my network, I pretty much know where your device is. But evidently, it's also possible to direct the device to a different AGPS server, and this change is persistent. So even after the device now leaves your network, you can still track the device because it will continue to connect back to your AGPS server. Supposedly, this has been recognized as a bug and it's going to be fixed in future versions of Android. At this point, I've only seen the summary. I've not seen the detailed paper, so I don't really know yet how this persistent part works, which I think is where this gets really more interesting. And we got a new version of Chrome. Now, Chrome 21 is not only fixing some important security issues, so you definitely do want to upgrade, but be aware, it also adds an interesting and somewhat controversial new feature, the Get User Media API. This API allows a web application via JavaScript to access your microphone and camera. Pretty much what you were able to do with Flash, but as HTML5 tries to replace all of these Flash features by itself, it does take over some of that functionality. And similar to what happens with geolocation information or what Flash does, the browser should ask you for permission before allowing access to your microphone or camera. camera. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.